All right, aloha, bulovinaka, talofa lava, malolele, and half a day. welcome to San Mateo County's Pacific Islander Women's Health Spot, culture-specific obesity prevention workshop. I help present and facilitate this particular workshop that was developed and created by the county's very own Lydia Guzman. I have no relationships to disclose. And today our issues of special concern are Pacific Islander women. They suffer from high rates of obesity and obesity-related illnesses such as type 2 diabetes. 20% of Pacific Islanders in San Mateo County have reported that they have diabetes, and there's only 1.4% of the population are Pacific Islander. Hypertension rates are quite similar between Pacific Islanders and the larger U.S. population, and breast cancer is the second leading cause of death among Pacific Islander women. And also polycystic ovarian syndrome, or PCOS, it's an emerging issue that many healthcare professionals are not aware of, but it's a major concern in my community. And also I'll speak further about PCOS later in this presentation. The County of San Mateo developed an obesity prevention intervention program specific to Pacific Islander women, resulting in positive dietary and physical activity behavior changes. And Lydia Guzman, she developed the health spa concept to educate women about nutrition and physical activity. The health spa program has been conducted with great success within other ethnic groups for the past 10 years, such as Mexican American, Chinese American, as well as African American community. Oops, sorry. And I skipped. Ooh, how do I go back? Sorry. It's sensitive. Oh, thanks. And of course, our method is a 3-hour health spa, which was developed to be culturally and culturally relevant for our Pacific Islander women. And we want Pacific Islander women to feel better about themselves, instill more of a sense of cultural pride by reinvigorating the essence of health and beauty through the use of their cultural and traditional Pacific Islander foods. I'm so sorry. And of course, most women were highly motivated by our physical appearance, so we introduced the concept of healthy is beautiful, relating physical appearance to a more healthier lifestyle. And, the program combines nutrition education with spa-like activities such as facials, hand scrubs, and healthy snacks made with our cultural foods like our sweet potatoes, papayas, mangoes, coconuts. And most women, they're strongly influenced by activities that are part of the good life, you know, like your health spas, massages, your manis and pedis. And they're all part of, I'm so sorry, you guys. Don't lean on it? Okay. All right. Sure. Actually, no. Well, anyways, when women come to the health spa, they come in, we have a spa-like ambiance for them. You know, there's tablecloths, there's flowers, and it's, you know, we want it to be very spa-like, very nurturing, and soothing and relaxed. And also, Pacific Islander women, they respond well to the nutrition messages when we adapt the spa to their specific culture. So it's very important to have a Pacific Islander facilitating the health spa to make it more culturally competent and relevant. And this is a close-up picture of our place setting. And one of the key nutrition education messages that women are exposed to is the importance of increasing their intake of fruits and vegetables. And women also, they come to our health spas, you know, wanting to know how to keep their skin clear, wrinkle prevention and acne prevention. So we teach them more about eating more of the beauty vitamins that you get, the vitamins A, C, and E from, you know, our cultural foods, the sweet potatoes, papayas. And of course, participants are encouraged to drink the delicious spa water we provide instead of the sugary drinks like the Tampico juices, Gatorades, and sodas. And this leads into a discussion about water being a natural moisturizer from the inside out. And participants, we also provide them nail kits and warm olive oil to do their nails while we present the nutrition information, which leads into a discussion of good vegetable oils and different types of fat, including another discussion about how our hair and nails are a reflection of our nutritional status. And the healthy versus unhealthy fat discussion leads into the fat demonstration, as you see here, where we measure 4 teaspoons of fat in, you know, one slice of pizza, which also leads into a discussion about how fat, we do need fat to function, but in moderation. We got to teach my people moderation, portion control, eat less. And now we go straight into the refined sugar demonstration and where it comes from in our diet. The presenter measures the amount of sugar and other in the soda, the 20-ounce bottle of soda, as well as other sweetened beverages that the women enjoy drinking. And we stress that refined sugar is, of course, quickly converted into body fat. And the health spa participants continue to learn about the impact of refined sugar. They exfoliate their hands with a coconut hand scrub. It's made from a mixture of just sugar and coconut oil, which leads into a discussion of the impact of eating too much refined sugar and the factors that influence diabetes. And of course, our sugar and fat demonstrations lead into a discussion about how to properly read nutrition labels and how to convert the grams of sugar and fat into teaspoons so it's easier for them to visualize. And also we continue to discuss sugar and sugary drink alternatives. So we demonstrate how to quickly make a healthy skin smoothie with simple ingredients in a blender. And of course, it's all about the skin at the health spa. And so we have the women apply non-fat plain yogurt. It's a basic cleanser, but it also leads into a discussion about the importance of calcium for strong bones. And oatmeal, the oatmeal face mask, you know, it of course it pulls the dirt and the oils from your face, but it leads into a discussion about how oatmeal helps lower cholesterol. And the women here, they feel nurtured and they enjoy the spa while they're learning about nutrition and physical activity. And here they are just relaxing and nourishing their skin, another stress management technique. And cucumbers leads into a discussion about water retention and the overconsumption of sodium in our contemporary Western-influenced diets. And here, who would have thought that cucumbers would lead to a discussion of this high sodium intake in the Pacific Islander community? Hypertension and high blood pressure run rampant in the community, and we eat lots of food. You know, it's cheap, it's quick, and it's easy to make, especially for working low-income class parents. Cup of noodles, corned beef, you know, we love our Spam, sausages, you name it. But we encourage the women to also use more spices and herbs in their cooking. And here they're shocked about the amount of sodium that they're eating, cup of noodles, in just one serving. And also we're here today to discuss obesity prevention and polycystic ovarian syndrome. It ties all these chronic diseases and health issues together. And as the rate of obesity increases, the greater the increase of PCOS will be in my community. The sad thing about PCOS is that it can be prevented and controlled with diet and exercise. But the good news is that, the sad thing about PCOS is that it can begin at a very young age, but it's very difficult to reverse. So, of course, we teach the women to do, have more better diet and more exercise. And our community wouldn't have the high rates of diabetes, cancer, heart disease, and hypertension if it weren't for these PCOS symptoms. And we encourage the women, of course, to eat more of their cultural, traditional foods and not make them super oily. And, of course, in moderation, portion control, and to increase their physical activity. And quickly, PCOS is the most common hormonal disorder among Pacific Islander women, and 1 out of 5 Pacific Islander women have PCOS, but they don't know they have it. And polycystic ovarian syndrome, it refers to the enlarged ovaries containing many tiny cysts. And quickly, not all the symptoms may be present, but signs and symptoms will vary from girl to girl, woman to woman. Of course, you see there's balding, thinning hair, heavy, long-duration menstrual periods, or even infrequent or absent, irregular menstrual periods. Acne, oily skin, a lot of skin problems, and patches of dark skin on the back of neck, skin tags, excess facial and body hair, weight gain or obesity, and it's usually around the waist area. And PCOS is recognized as a leading cause of infertility among women, and many healthcare professionals still aren't aware of this. Also, women with PCOS puts them at a greater risk of getting high cholesterol and high blood pressure. And of course, with all those symptoms, it's going to cause a lot of anxiety and depression. And if the symptoms go untreated or undiagnosed, PCOS increases the risk of type 2 diabetes, heart disease, endometrial cancers, fatty liver disease, stroke, and depression. And the PCOS is, of course, it's not curable, but the symptoms, like I said earlier, it's curable, it's treatable through diet and exercise and medication. A lot of women on PCOS take metformin, by the way. And of course, finally, the participants, we have them create individualized behavior change action plans or mini max plans. Women are taught about the behavior change process, and this is you first develop your plan, you make a backup plan, as well as having that social support, because this is really key and it's really important to have. It could be as simple as increasing their water intake, because a lot of women aren't going to stop drinking soda overnight, so we just encourage them just increase drinking two glasses of water each day. And we know that knowledge is a necessary precursor to behavior change, yet knowledge alone is insufficient. So our women really need to learn the behavior change process. And participants, we later contact them to provide long-term accountability and support to meet their goals, that social support. And of course, 68% of the women that participated in the health spa reported making positive behavior changes in the intake of sugar, fat, sodium, water, fruits and vegetables. And these are some quotes from our participants. A lot of them want us to go out to the community and make this, you know, program more awareness. And reported barriers, of course, it's not a priority for some of the women. That's one thing I want to highlight, because many of them have family and work obligations, and they put their personal health lower. Of course, one woman in particular, she said she will get more stressed, depressed, and put on more weight if she doesn't make this change. And ladies and gentlemen, before I conclude, I just want to say that the women, they fully internalize the impact of their unhealthy lifestyle choices, and they're very conscious that if they don't make these positive behavior changes or reach their goals, they will lead unhappy, unhealthy lifestyles. And the women seem to think it's a character flaw or blame themselves, but my community is suffering, and because these women are feeling or referencing feeling stressed, depressed, low self-esteem, and no motivation. So I need my Pacific Islander women to reach out to their family and their friends, and behavior change is very difficult without the social support. And of course, this is one of our greatest strengths, is having that social connection, having that social support around building a healthier Pacific Islander community. And also in conclusion, this program generates cultural pride, self-esteem, the motivation and information needed for dietary and lifestyle changes, and results in positive behavior changes leading to obesity prevention. Mahalo. Aloha, people.